folks that come to me. And the people gather around, they are all what they can bring. I know about it and that, and then I'll sound sing. The revolution starts now. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to the Steve Earle Show, brought to you by New West Records, and we're on Air America Radio. And yes, we do play music around here. And this week, my guest is Bruce Coburn, who has a guitar in the studio, which not everybody does that around here, which I think that's really cool. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
We actually, this feels kind of familiar, except I don't have a guitar. Us being in chairs about this far apart.
I know.
You know, we kind of did all these landmine shows that we've done a couple of times over the years.
It's nice to see you in a different context.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I like those things a lot.
They really are cool. Bruce and I actually met doing concerts for a Landmine Free World that Vietnam veterans in the States and some organizations in Canada that were instrumental in bringing about a treaty that, you know, which is how Bruce got involved in it because he's Canadian. Actually, a very brave politician in Canada decided to bypass the United Nations and the U.S. and all of the other groups and sign a treaty banning landmines in Canada, invited people, and most of the world came and signed that treaty. We didn't. China didn't. The Soviet Union, the three countries that manufacture landmines.
A couple of heavy players didn't sign. But, and the work continues as a result.
Absolutely.
To get those countries on side. And to be fair to America, there's a lot of great work done by Americans in the field of demining and in rehabilitating mine victims. But be nice if we could just get rid of the damn thing so that work wasn't necessary.
Absolutely. Let's get started with some music. And this is, if you've heard Bruce Coburn at all, you might know about this. This is If I Had a Rocket Launcher. Go.
Today, everybody scatters and hopes it goes away. How many kids they've murdered, only God can say. If I had a rocket launcher, if I if I had a rocket launcher, I'd make somebody pay. I don't believe in guarded borders, and I don't believe in hate. I don't believe in generals or their stinking torture states. And when I talk with the survivors, the thing's too sickening to relate. If I had a rocket launcher, if I had a rocket launcher, if I I would retaliate. On the Rio La Cancha, 100,000 wait to fall down from starvation or some less humane fate. Cry for Guatemala with a corpse in every gate. If I had a rocket launcher, if I had a rocket launcher, if I had a rocket launcher, I would not hesitate. fly if I had a rocket launcher. If I had a rocket launcher. If I had a rocket launcher, some son of a bitch would die.
Bruce Coburn live in the studio with us here. That's, I love that song. It's one of those things that I don't think people that don't do this, you know, understand sometimes. I try really hard to write stuff for other people, but sometimes I have to write just for me, just so I don't explode, just so I don't blow up.
Yeah, I've never been much good at writing for specific other people. I've been lucky enough to have other people record my songs now and then, but I came to the understanding really soon after I first started writing songs that if anybody was ever going to hear these things, I had to get out and sing them myself.
Right, and the same thing happened to me. And I was actually trying to be a staff writer. I mean, I don't think any of us that were doing it in Nashville in the 70s thought it was going to end up being our jobs, but it was a means to an end. But we thought, you know, I got a record deal because no one was going to hear them. It became fairly
obvious. Well, it's, you know, if you write anything that sort of deviates from the norm, whatever the norm happens to be in the period of time you're
writing,
that's liable to be your fate.
And it's one of those things, it's funny, all those things they always tell me, you know, bring me something up tempo and positive, and this doesn't have a chorus. And then I've had two, you know, songs that could be construed maybe as, three that could be construed as hit records, and none of them have choruses. And it's really, and I write songs with choruses, and I like choruses, but it's funny, just my luck is, just to encourage my bad behavior, I've had, you know, a lot of success with songs that aren't, you know, that aren't supposed to work. This is about bringing in records and playing them, too, and you picked out a playlist, and we're going to hear another live song later. Tell us about Rasputina, because this is the cool thing about getting to do this, is I learn about music that I don't know about.
Well, I discovered Rasputina late in the game, I think, from their point of view, but a couple of years ago, I read a review in a Toronto paper of an album that they had done, and it sounded pretty interesting, and I went out and checked it out, and the particular configuration of people on that album is two women who played electric cello and a drummer,
right.
a guy who plays drums, and one of the women mainly, I think, writes the songs, and there's an earlier version of Rasputina that had three women playing cellos. And it's
cool.
It's some very interesting music. It's edgy stuff with kind of a neat dark humor and just enough goth.
This is Rasputina on Air America Radio. Rasputino on Air America Radio. Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Steve Earle Show, brought to you by New West Records. Listen to the Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio. We're brought to you by New West Records, and our guest this week is Bruce Coburn. And Ani DeFranco, do you remember the first time you ran across her? I mean, just...
I remember it like it was yesterday.
She tends to have that sort of effect on people.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I had read about her, and Leslie Charbonne has been my tour manager for a number of years now. Was friends with her drummer, her former drummer.
Right.
And... we both were on a festival out in Colorado together, and so we got introduced, and we were sort of hanging out, and then I'm thinking, oh, this is an interesting gal, and then I went to hear her perform.
Yeah.
And I just was totally bowled over by it, and I kind of felt like I ought to just pack up and go home.
Yeah, it could be kind of overwhelming, but I think that's the kind of the wrong way to take it. But
yeah.
She is, I think she's one of those people that her presence is just so strong in any situation she gets into, and she has... literally single-handedly changed the music business in a way that it needed to be changed. I don't know what would have happened to a lot of singer-songwriters coming along if Ani hadn't come along and demonstrated that there was this other path to go. I mean, I think in certain circumstances, there's nothing wrong with being on a major label and having somebody else spend the money and take all the risks, but there is another thing that you can do, and it's easier now than it's ever been, and she was so... determined and showed the positive side of that and so clearly that I think there's a lot of people still out there making records that maybe wouldn't be. I think she's really that important.
I think you're right about that.
Ani DeFranco on Air America Radio.
Station. We try. We just gotta try. We just gotta try. If you're not angry, then you're just stupid. You don't care. How else can you react when you know something's so unfair? When the man of the hour can kill half the world in war, make them slaves to a superpower, and let them die poor. I was once out of me and my mother's gutter. Nothing ever changes, not for sure. See the face, each generation will just fade like a radio station. You try, you just gotta try.
Ani DeFranco on Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Steve Earle Show, brought to you by New West Records.
We just try.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Steve Earle Show, brought to you by New West Records on Air America Radio. And our guest this week is Bruce Coburn. And tell me about Manu Chao and this particular track.
Manu Chao is a Spanish songwriter, singer, performer, who's made a kind of a very interesting career out of, in a funny way, globalization of music, of culture. So his records have elements of reggae, of rock, of electronica, of ethnic music from Brazil or wherever else. And he sings in Spanish, English, French, Portuguese, that I know of. And I don't know, just a really interesting, a very light touch musically, but somehow some message comes through in his songs. Some of the songs, you know, are just basically love songs. Others have more point to them. And I find him a really interesting artist. He's huge in the Latin world.
Just in this hemisphere, or also in Spain?
In Europe, in South America, cool. You know, but and in Quebec also.
Wow.
That's
the one thing that was always about Quebec that, you know, for me, I was really, really big in Canada, but the one place I wasn't was Quebec. But it was because of the French language thing took up enough of a percentage of the records sold there that you no English-speaking artist is going to sell as many records in Quebec as they do in the rest of Canada.
Yeah, that's quite true.
And it makes it, the French interest in world music in general makes it a really wide-open place musically.
Yeah, I lived in Montreal for 4 years. It was a great place to be because there was music from everywhere coming in all the time, especially from the Francophone part of the world, from the African countries where French is the colonial language, from Haiti, from North Africa, from Europe, of course, and exciting atmosphere.
This is Manu Chao, Clandestino.
Okay, señor Papatito, Clandestino aquí presente.
Manu Chao on Air America Radio. Bruce Coburn brought that in. I was sitting there listening to that, and, you know, my Spanish is good enough to know I can shop, and I know when to run.
Those are important things.
That's about it. It's never become really conversational, but this song is not. It's very kin to lyrically to La Cucaracha, which people hear that song and they hear kids sing it and not really know what it's about. But La Cucaracha is about Pancho Villa and his army, and probably there was probably a lyric before that too, before it was customized for those times as a folk song. But it talks about the cockroach, you know, has nowhere to go. and he feels really sad because he has no marijuana to smoke. That's what the chorus literally translates to. But it's about Pancho Villa and his army traveling from town to town, and you know, it was sort of in code. And I think there's a lot of that in this song.
Yeah, La Bamba seems to fit in that category,
oh,
too.
Absolutely. La Bamba is one of those songs that there have got to be 150 verses to La Bamba. It's, you know, it's been retreaded, you know, over a period of 150 years.
Yeah.
It's a folk song with a capital F in, yeah, in that respect. Yeah. MIA, tell me about this track. And this is called Amazon. So.
Yeah, well, I can't really talk about the song. We'll just let people hear that. But MIA is a young woman from Sri Lanka living in England. And actually, I recently learned was refused entry into this country to perform because she has some affiliations with the Tamil Tigers, or her relatives do.
Right.
She's a great kind of rapper, and she handles electronica really interestingly and makes these cheeky, danceable, nose-thumbing records that I like a lot.
So, this is MIA on Air America Radio. Amazon on Air America Radio. This is Steve Rowe, and you're listening to The Steve Rowe Show, brought to you by New West Records.
Hello,
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Steve Earle Show, and we're presented to you by New West Records on Air America Radio. And our guest this week is Bruce Coburn. This has been a gas because, you know, we've done some stuff together, and it's good to get to see you.
Yeah, I feel the same.
Where are you living these days?
I live in Kingston, Ontario, which is halfway between Toronto and Montreal. It's actually on the USA Today weather map. It's about the only Canadian city that is, and which is strange because it's a little college town.
Yeah.
Although, as we were talking about earlier, it's also
college and prisons.
The main industry is prisons. Yeah. It's the home of one of Canada's most notorious
prisons. Which is why something that we don't do in the United States anymore. We've decided not to do it. And there's been some pressure on the program in Canada, but so far you can still do it in Canada. But if you're an inmate in the prison system in Canada, you can attend university while you're locked up. And there's always been a program between those colleges there and those prisons there. And people, you know, it's if you want to and you want to put the time in while you're locked up, you can get a degree in Canada. And I've never understood, in this country, we've done away with programs like that. It's like, why do we want college criminals to let them go to college? I mean, in other words, I guess they think that they're, you know, it's like Animal House in there. Once you start taking a college course while you're in prison, that's your whole environment. Girls or football
John
games
going to show up. And
right, yeah.
It'll be fun for
you. But it's about rehabilitation, and we've become allergic to even the term rehabilitation around prisons in the United States.
Yeah, we probably won't be far behind because our government has its nose firmly planted up yours's butt. So, you know, we'll see.
Well,
it's a minority government, so it may not last that long.
That's
so
true. And there are some fundamental differences, though, I think, between, you know, Canadians and Americans. And I say this over and over again every time. You know, Canada's been very, very good to me. And I tell my audiences in Canada all the time, do not forget to be Canadian. I mean, I'm very proud of being an American. I'm very embarrassed by the actions of, you know, almost every action of the government that's in power here now. But I think there are certain things that the Canadians are not going to put up with. That being said, I've watched in England as things have changed drastically in the, you know, 25 years or so that I've been training there. And in Ireland, I see frighteningly American-looking things going on. And they're all about letting things slide because you see, you know, how long can Canada sit there and watch certain things, watch people get away with paying almost no taxes on this side of the border and not wanting, you know, we want to not pay taxes. That's the main thing that Americans want and the main thing that American politicians try to deliver.
Well, if you got something for your taxes, people might be more willing to pay.
Absolutely.
And that's always under threat at home. I mean, we pay higher taxes and traditionally we've gotten more for it in terms of health care, in terms of other things. Now that's under attack in the interests of privatizing this and that, same as it is everywhere in the world.
Right.
But, you know, the other problem, of course, is the creeping cynicism that comes in. And you look at the scum that end up rising to the top of the political world in just about every country.
Right.
And you think, what is my vote worth if that's what we're getting?
Well, yeah.
And we can't give in to that. I mean, this is what I think you were saying about Ireland, that you see this slide because people go, well, not only are they seduced by the prospect of lower taxes or whatever other thing they happen to think is cool that week, but there's this apathy that comes from feeling that none of it's worth anything anyway.
Yeah, well, in Ireland, I think, you know, there was some of their own culture that they're sort of tripping over. Now, Ireland was so poor. It was the poorest country in Western Europe for years and years and years, and no one benefited more from the advent of the European, you know, economic community than Ireland did. They got a lion's share of the money because they were at the bottom of the pyramid, and that's how it worked. And then, you know, graft as we know it in my country was sort of invented in Ireland. So there was plenty for a lot of Irish politicians to get really rich, but some really genuinely good things were done, too. So suddenly you had, you know, I lived there, you know, in the winter times for several years. You know, I just started going, you know, like in October or so and staying, you know, through the winter and, you know, in Galway. And it changed so much because they started building a lot of stuff. And my landlord, the first time I stayed in Galway was, you know, I thought they were the people that they're called McDonough, and I thought it was the people that owned the chip shop in town, but it turned out it was a lawyer from Chicago. And you know, the rules, you're not supposed to be able to own property, you know, at that time, you know, if you weren't an Irish citizen, but those rules got bent now anybody can buy property there. And it's sort of wide open. There's been good and bad. She's not losing her best and brightest to immigration automatically like she was for so much of her history, but things are getting really expensive and you know, some signs that people may not be taking care of each other culture. Can't take those things for granted.
You get the holiday condos along the coast that are populated with people from other countries, and then that they fill up Ireland and they come over to Nova Scotia and they're doing that. And then,
right. And which are sort of mirror images of each other.
In the Israeli settlements in the West Bank, there are people from here buying holiday condos in those settlements.
Yeah.
That to me is utterly baffling. But your view is a refugee camp or a bunch of people who are rather hostile. You know, what is the point of that? But anyway, well, that's another.
Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons.
A whole other show.
Yeah. And the people that are hostile in situations like that, I mean, you know, while we talk about what's going on in Ireland, then things have changed for the better, but you know, there still are, you know, in the six counties, things have changed less than they have in the South. And it wasn't that way for a long time, you know. It's like West Belfast is still kind of West Belfast. It's still sort of out there on the other side of the wall and by itself. You're going to play one more for us. This is from the new record.
Time, yeah.
And what the new record is called?
The new record is called Life Short, Call Now.
Yeah.
Appropriately
cool.
enough. This is not the title song. This is a song called Different When It Comes to You. It's what, in my world passes for a love song.
On Air America Radio, Different When It Comes to You from the new album, which is called
Life Short, Call Now.
Hey, it's been a gas, man.
Thank you. It's been great.
This is Steve Earle. You're listening to the Steve Earle Show,
like
brought to you by New
Income.